Welcome to Victorious Parenting. I'm Arabella Hill, an experienced parenting educator qualified in behavioral science. I'm also a mother, former teacher, and the author of the best-selling Ultimate Parenting Guide series and founder of Victorious Parenting. Via my books and programs, I've helped over 70,000 caregivers across the world transform their home lives. Is your child struggling with stubbornness, attention and focus, or out of control behavior? Well, then this podcast episode is for you because they may need help strengthening their executive functions. So what are executive functions? Executive functions are vital skills essential for impulse control, emotional regulation, planning, focus attention, following instructions, learning, and managing multiple tasks effectively. And there's more too. These skills begin developing in the first year of life and evolve throughout adolescence into young adulthood. They play a pivotal role in a child's behavioral and cognitive growth. Children are not born with executive functioning skills. They are only born with the potential to develop them. They must be taught these skills explicitly through direct instruction. And it's important to note that environmental stress and neuropsychological challenges like ADHD and ASD can significantly impede the development of executive functions in children. The good news is they are malleable and they can be improved with the right intervention. It doesn't matter if your child has ASD or ADHD or they don't. Every child can be helped in this area. And I'm going to be talking about the scientific evidence to back that up in this podcast, so stay with me. Often caregivers, unfortunately, unwittingly, because they don't know what executive functions are, they structure their child's environment to compensate for the lack of these skills. But that only leads to long-term decision-making and emotional control issues. Yet, cultivating these skills can significantly improve their behavioral responses, leading to better emotional regulation and social interactions. So this really highlights the importance of strong executive functioning skills in fostering self-control and problem-solving abilities in children. I spoke to a teacher the other day, and she said she had been a teacher for around 35 years, and she has never seen so many problems in the classroom during her entire 35 years as she has currently in her profession. And so I probed her a little bit about that. I wanted to know more. What do you mean now? Is it just this year or is it since COVID-19? And so we got into this conversation and it seems that within the past 5 to 10 years, she's noticed an increase in behavioral problems in her classroom in children. And she's not the only one. I spoke to a school faculty last week and they said the exact same thing. They understand the importance of executive functioning skills. Think this is a lost understanding, a lost knowledge. And in saying that, there is over 30 years of scientific peer-reviewed evidence out there showing how strengthening executive functions in children can significantly improve their behavior and improve their cognitive functioning and their ability to learn. And of course, that has a snowball effect on their entire life. And yet we don't hear about this a lot, except you're hearing about it right here, right now. And this is really exciting because you're going to learn something today that's going to really help you and your family, something that you're not going to learn elsewhere. This is not talked about in general circles. It's usually just talked about in universities and things like that. And my Victorious Parenting, the whole reason why I set my whole brand up is to take that information out of those circles and bring it to the general public, because there is a disconnect between all of the studies and all of the information that we know to be true and what the public generally is told and what the public knows. There's a massive gap, and Victorious Parenting bridges that gap. So you're going to get to learn something that you won't learn elsewhere about executive functionings today. So executive functionings, what can they do? They can enhance self-regulation and social skills. They can increase attention and focus, especially important for children who have been diagnosed with ADHD. It helps them with optimized time, organization, and planning skills. This is vital in early adolescence and in teenage years, where they're learning to manage their time and their homework, and they're making decisions and becoming more independent. So let's talk about a little bit more about the warning signs of poor executive functions. So if you're not sure if my child is struggling with poor executive functioning, here are the warning signs. Impulse control issues. They have difficulty waiting for their turn, controlling their emotions, or resisting the urge to interrupt others. This is especially important and seen daily by teachers, where a child would just start interrupting others and they don't seem to have any ability or very little ability to control themselves or wait for their turn, and they're just bursting out the answers, or you know, they don't have any awareness usually of others around them. And what this can be, it could also be just a normal child development trait. It depends on the age of the child as well, because children, they learn to wait their turn, they learn to control their emotions over time, but that's executive functioning. They have to be taught to learn. And families these days, we're really busy. Most families can't survive on one income, so the mom and the dad are both working full time, and you leave it up to the school to teach you. But unfortunately, a lot of schools and a lot of faculty members don't know about executive functioning skills, or they know very little about executive functioning skills, or that the development of executive functioning skills is not integrated into the curriculum. They're teaching kids facts and knowledge, but they're not helping them how to learn. They're not teaching them how to listen, how to wait their turn. They're just expecting them to. And again, on the teacher side, they're poorly paid, they're working extra hours that they don't get paid for sometimes. It's very difficult. They're managing more children in the classroom that they physically can handle. These classrooms are often packed. They don't have the help they once had. When my son was little, we used to have a lot of teacher aides, and there were at least two teacher aides per classroom. And now teachers are lucky to get a teacher aide at all to help them in their classroom. So if you're not teaching your kids these at home, and the teaching staff don't know a lot about it, or they don't have time to teach your child this, when and where are they going to learn? Because it's not going to be on YouTube. It's not going to be on Netflix. It's definitely not going to be riding their bikes with their friends or at their friend's house. Who is going to teach them? Where are they going to learn? And I think this is why, when I spoke to a teacher last week, she had been teaching for 35 years and she still is currently teaching. And she says she's never seen so many issues now than she's ever seen in her entire career. The issues in the classroom now with out of control behavior is exponentially greater than she's ever witnessed before. And I probed her on this. I wanted to know if it's just been in the last 3 to 4 years, it happens to do with COVID. And she said, no, she started seeing a gradual increase about 10 years ago. And yes, she has seen a little bit more of an increase since COVID, but she doesn't believe that's the real issue. She believes the real issue is that these children are not being taught these skills. They don't know how to control their emotions. They don't know how to learn. They're not being taught the foundation of things. It's kind of like, you know, putting a child in a classroom and expecting them to learn and to participate without being taught how to participate, how to learn. It's like building a house without building a solid foundation. And so parents are at a loss. Families are busier than ever. Teachers are at a loss. They're busier than ever. And who are the losers in all of this? The children. There's more stress on the family. There's more stress on the teachers. The children are brought up in this stress. And if you remember what I said earlier, that stress, environmental stress, can significantly impede, negatively impact the development of executive functions in children. So we're in this big mess of a cycle that's a big washing machine around and around, and someone has to come and push the stop button. This is where Victorious Parenting comes into play. I bridge the gap between what's in the science and what the public knows. I offer intervention programs that help you help your child build these skills, because you may be busy right now with your life. I'm too, but you've got to think about the larger picture. You got to think about what happens when they become teenagers. You got to think about beyond that. How am I going to help my child function in society as a responsible citizen, as an adult, when they need this kind of help? So this is what this podcast is about. This is what Victorious Parenting is about. So the warning signs of poor executive functions: impulse control issues. Number two, out of control behavior. They have difficulty assessing their own performance, recognizing when they make mistakes, and managing their emotion. Let me back up a little bit. They have difficulty assessing their own performance or recognizing when they have made mistakes. Again, when we're talking with very young children, this is developed over time. But if you have a child, let's say 8, 9 years old, and they have a difficulty assessing their own performance, recognizing when they make mistakes, it could be that they have weak executive functioning skills and they need extra help developing that. Imagine all the adults that you've met in your life. Have you ever met someone that they can't see their own behavior, no matter what? They see everybody else's behavior. They're looking outside of themselves all the time. They have no presence or of mind. They can't see themselves from the outside in. And that is a key cognitive function to be able to do. It's a key cognitive skill to be able to witness yourself from the outside. When you're looking at your own behavior and you're making a self-assessment about your own behavior and you're thinking, you know what, this person is right, I was a little bit harsh, you know, and you can reason and reconcile and you can look at your own behavior. Or when things aren't, as an adult, when things aren't going right, you look at your own behavior. What am I doing to get in my own way? What is my behavior on a daily basis? But I've met so many adults who I believe could have stronger executive functions who are unable to assess their own performance or recognize when they have made mistakes or manage their emotions. And that's a really sad thing. And we want to break that cycle. And I want you to break that cycle in your family right now. You don't have to go through another generation. If you've come from that kind of upbringing like I have, you can stop that and you can break that cycle right now. It doesn't matter what age your child is. As I said, if they're a little bit older, it's going to take a little bit longer to work with them. The best time is between the age of 3 and 5 years old. That's when they're most receptive. But if they're out of those ages, younger, great, because executive functions start to develop from the first year of life. If they're older, that's okay. You're just going to have to put a little bit more effort and be a little more patient with it. But it is possible. If you want something enough, you can do it. It's possible. And I am proof of that. My son is proof of that, because everything I teach in Victorious Parenting is something that I have personally applied to my own life, my own parenting, and I've seen results in that. So the next sign of poor executive function is inability to focus attention. This is where ADHD comes into play. They have difficulty sustaining attention. They struggle to shift attention from one task to the next and regulating alertness throughout the day. I've spoken to a parent recently and she said her daughter has the signs of ADHD. She took her to get assessed and they said that she did not have ADHD, but she has all of these signs and her mother kept pushing for a diagnosis of ADHD. Her child most likely does not have ADHD as the assessment had come back saying, no, she doesn't have it. And then we have some doctors saying, oh, well, they might have it mildly. Most likely it's poor executive functioning skills, not necessarily ADHD. There are children who have ADHD and have been diagnosed with ADHD, and they too can be helped through strengthening executive functioning skills. Their behavior and their ADHD symptoms can be lessened and their quality of life can be greatly improved by strengthening these skills. I will talk about the science a little bit later in this podcast. The next sign is difficulty following instructions. They struggle to remember. It's not just that they're stubborn. That's why I said, is your child struggling with stubbornness? Because when we have a child that, you know, oh, I forgot, or I don't know, you see it as like a stubbornness, or I don't want to, you know, it comes out in other ways and we don't always recognize what the root of it is. We just think, I have a stubborn child. I have a strong-willed child. I have a child that refuses to listen to me. But it might be that they have difficulty following instructions because they are struggling to remember. They may have poor memory recall. They may have poor working memory, which is one of the executive skills that I'm going to be talking about. So they may struggle to remember to follow multi-step directions, often requiring repetition or reminders. My goodness, how many times have you told your child to do something, especially young children? That's fine because young children, they're developing their executive functioning skills. Sometimes when my child was little, I used to say, I sound like a broken record. I'd be like over and over and over again. And that's fine with very young children as they're learning. But if this is like a pattern that you see, it could be that they need help in this particular area. So next one is that they are rigid and they are stubborn. So this is true stubbornness. They are inflexible, completely inflexible, stubborn, and very reluctant to adapt the thoughts and ideas of others. So when you're trying to teach them something, they're like, no, no, no. They don't want to listen. They have their own idea, or they made up their own idea about something. And no matter how you're trying to guide and teach them, they're just completely inflexible. They don't want to learn. They're reluctant to adapt to thoughts of others or new ideas. This is called rigidity. It's also known as cognitive inflexibility. These children struggle to compromise. They want it their way all the time. And it's not just sometimes, all children are like this, but we're talking about patterns of behavior that you see constantly. The next is that they are disorganized. You'll notice that with older children, they will struggle to keep track of their belongings, manage their schoolwork, or maintain and clean an orderly space. So young children, that's fine. They are disorganized. You teach them over time. We don't expect a four-year-old to maintain and clean their space constantly and keep track of all their belongings and manage their own schoolwork and get themselves off to school. But we can expect a 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old to start doing this at a better rate. So if you have more of a young adolescent, a teenager, and they struggle to keep track of their belongings constantly, or they can't manage their schoolwork, and you see that they're very disorganized, they may have weak executive functioning skills and they can be helped through strengthening them. The next is trouble with self-awareness. They struggle to recognize their thoughts, feelings, behaviors, and tendencies. That goes with the first one, with the presence of mind. They're unable to perceive their personal strengths and weaknesses. So your child may have very low self-esteem. They may not see themselves as others see them or as they truly are. They just focus on all the things that are going wrong or bad because they can't identify their emotions very well. They know they're feeling something, but they don't know why they're feeling it. They can also predict consequences of their actions. So they might be extremely defiant. And defiance in this context, there's different kinds of defiance, like willful defiance, like stubbornness, no, I refuse to do it. Or defiance is they're messing up. You know, they're messing up all the time. And you can see that they don't want to necessarily mess up, but they're just constantly messing up, even though you've taught them this a million times, you've helped them, you've guided them, and they're continually messing up. They may not be able to predict the consequences of their actions. And that also goes with the prefrontal lobe that is responsible for decision-making skills. That becomes fully developed about 24, 25. Even some studies say some people, it might be 30 years old before that is fully developed. So we're talking about repeated patterns of behavior. If they're constantly messing up there and they're like, oh, I didn't know. You did know. I have a rule written down. And I said, if you do this, this is the consequence. And they're well aware of it, but they're repeatedly doing it anyway. They may have weak executive functioning skills. The last one is persistent procrastination. They have trouble estimating how long tasks will take. They have trouble prioritizing tasks or completing assignments on time. And this leads to overwhelm and procrastination in all the children and teenagers. It can just lead to a shutdown. They may be depressed. It just may be too much, just life in general and just all the things that come with it. It may be so overwhelming that they can't physically, mentally cope with it. And that's when you see all the behavioral issues, the defiance, staying out late, refusing to do their homework, refusing to go to school, hanging out with the wrong crowd. They're just shutting down. And of course, teenagers, they normally push the boundaries anyway. Even if you have a teenager with strong executive functioning skills, they may push the boundaries and defy authority as a way of learning about themselves in the world. All kids do that throughout their entire childhoods, but we're talking about repeated patterns of behavior here. So we're looking at now the skills that we're talking about, executive functioning skills. So what are they? Self-awareness is number one. Self-awareness refers to the ability to recognize one's thoughts, feelings, behaviors, and tendencies. So we're talking about when children are unable to predict the consequence of their behavior, they're unable to assess themselves from the outside. Young children can't do that. They have to be taught as they're going along. Older children, they should start be displaying signs that they have self-awareness, that they are becoming more self-aware. And they're able to understand that my actions impact your experience. So they'll understand that, hey, if I hit my sibling's going to cry, it's going to hurt. They understand that. So we're talking about a little bit older children, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old. They should have signs that they're developing self-awareness. And if they don't, they could be suffering from a weakness in executive functions and they need you to teach them this because school's not going to teach them, the friends are not going to teach them, and the funny teachers who sing and dance on YouTube are definitely not going to teach them. So self-awareness also involves understanding personal strengths and weaknesses, identifying emotions, and predicting the consequence of actions. Number two is attention and focus. Attention is the cognitive process that allows us to concentrate on specific stimuli or tasks while ignoring others. So we can focus on one task and we can ignore the other things that are all going along. It's kind of like looking at a screen or reading a book, and then there's a little noise, and then you're looking around, and then it's, you're constantly distracted because your thoughts are jumping all over the place. Kids with ADHD, their thoughts aren't focused like that. They're thinking of everything all at once, and strengthening their executive functioning skills can really, really help them. So focus is often used interchangeably with attention and can be considered as sustaining attention over time or maintaining attention on a task despite distractions. Little children are distractible, are highly distractible. When my son started school, we started big kids school, his teacher had the class decorated to the hilt. There was no space on the walls. And it was amazing. It was colorful. It was rainbows. It was unicorns. There was things like flapping in the wind, hanging down from the ceiling, mobiles everywhere. And she was upset because he wouldn't sit on the rug and listen to the book. And I asked her very specific details. What is he doing? Is he sitting? Yes, he's sitting. He's joining all the other children, but he's not listening. He's looking around. And I said, well, have a look around the classroom. I'm standing in the classroom at the time. I'm like, I'm distracted by the classroom. It's amazing. There's so many things, and there's toys, and there's balloons floating around. Yeah, he's going to be distracted. This isn't an issue. And she was adamant that there was a learning issue, and he got assessed properly and professionally for all the learning issues, and it wasn't. He was just really little. I think he was four and a half when he started big kids school, five, and he was just distractible. That was it. And I said, you know, if you took some of the things down from the ceiling that were flapping in the wind, because she would have the window open, the wind would move all the papers around, it would make noise. If you took some of those things down, perhaps the fan wasn't blowing them, you know, and you continue to teach him how to focus, he would improve. So I was strengthening this in him at home because the teacher didn't know about executive functioning skills, and she sure wasn't willing to teach them. She just wanted them to sit and listen. And this is what I'm talking about. You have to build a foundation. Kids don't know how to sit and focus. You have to teach them. These are executive functioning skills that have to be taught, and they are developed over time. And no child is perfect. You will get children who won't sit on the mat properly, and they're distractible, and they're looking all around. If there's executive functioning skills, which is a range of them, I have 12 written down here, and they develop at different rates. So the next is task initiation. Task initiation is the ability to begin a task or activity independently and without unnecessary procrastination. This is more prevalent in teenagers. This is not to be confused with motivation. Okay, so task initiation is not motivation. A child can be motivated to do something, but they can still struggle with task initiation. So in this sense, task initiation is the opposite of procrastination. Next is response inhibition. Response inhibition refers to the ability to suppress impulsive behaviors, delay responses, and to stop oneself from performing an undesired action. It's essentially the cognitive equivalent of think before you act. The development of response inhibition is as vital as any other skill, but this is one of the most important ones because it impacts a child's behavioral control, decision-making, and emotional regulation. The next one is working memory. Working memory refers to the ability to hold and manipulate information over short periods. It's like mental juggling where the child retains necessary details while solving a problem or performing a task. Working memory, what we were talking about earlier, if you have a child who's like, I forgot, I don't know, they may be having an issue with their working memory. It's crucial in various cognitive tasks, including reading, problem solving, and math. And if your child reads something And then you ask them what they learn. They're like, oh, I don't know. Like kind of that, you know what? And they kind of seem to forget, like they've learned something or they've just done something. And in a short period of time, it's like, it's all gone out their heads. You know, have you ever said to your child, like, hey, it's kind of like a sieve. It goes in one ear, out the other. Well, that may be that they need help with their working memory. Working memory also plays a role in attention control. It helps children concentrate despite distractions. So with children with ADHD, it's not just about teaching them how to focus, it's helping them with their working memory. Flexibility and adaptability is the next one. Cognitive flexibility refers to the brain's ability to transition thoughts between multiple concepts or perspectives. This skill allows children to adapt their thinking or strategy in response to changes or new information. Adaptability, closely linked to cognitive flexibility, involves adjusting to new conditions or changes in the environment effectively. The next is time management. That's a given, effectively managing their time. The next one is organization. We've spoken about organization. Good organization skills aid in efficiently managing tasks and reducing unnecessary stress related to misplaced items or forgotten responsibilities. So it helps lower stress. It helps with the confidence of the child. The next is planning. Well-developed planning skills can lead to a better academic performance overall, more efficient problem-solving abilities. They also foster self-confidence as the child learns to break down complex tasks into manageable steps and achieve set goals. So more prevalent in older children. Module 10, self-discipline. Self-discipline or inhibitory control is an executive function that refers to our capacity to control our thoughts, actions, and emotions, even in the face of temptation or distraction. This skill is foundational to a variety of life aspects, from academic performance to social relationships and emotional health. Next is self-regulation. Self-regulation is often considered a hallmark of executive functioning because well-developed self-regulation skills can lead to better social relationships, improved academic performance, positive mental health outcomes. That's right, if you have the ability to regulate your emotions, you are likely to have better mental health. They enable children to cope with frustration, delay gratification, and follow rules and instructions. The next is task completion. Being able to complete tasks efficiently is linked to improved academic performance, better time management skills, increased self-confidence. So as you can see, all 12 of these, they are separate, but they are also interlinked. They all impact one another. So let's talk about how does strengthening executive functioning skills help children who do have ADHD or ASD diagnosis, or if they're just neurodivergent, any other diagnosis, they have maybe a learning challenge in some way. Well, executive functioning skills play a critical role in supporting children with ADHD and ASD and other neurodevelopmental challenges, because research has shown that individuals with these conditions often experience difficulties in areas like impulse control, working memory, planning, cognitive flexibility. All of these, as I've said, are key components of executive functioning. But this is not just limited to children with neurodevelopmental conditions. Any child can experience weakness in these areas. And this study is from Barclay and Wilcutt. Barclay in 1997, Wilcutt in 2005, and Diamond in 2013, which comes from Harvard. Harvard has done a lot of research on executive functioning skills. Any child can experience weakness in executive functioning skills. Children are not born with them. As we said, they're only born with the potential to develop them. That comes from Harvard research, recent research. I think that was 2018 research. By strengthening executive functioning skills, children with ADHD and ASD can experience many benefits. Some of them are improved impulse control, and it helps them manage impulsive behaviors and make better decisions. So even if your child has ADHD or ASD, by helping them strengthen their executive functions can help their overall quality of life. It can help them improve. It can help them function on a better level, on a level that is better for them. And we can't compare children who have ADHD or ASD or other neurodevelopmental challenges to other children who do not. These children will function at a rate that they are able to do. But even if your child has ADHD or ASD, it's not as something like you've got the diagnosis, you give them the medication, then you sit back and say, oh, well, that's just their ADHD. No, you help them. You help them strengthen skills. You help them function. When a parent has a child that has Down syndrome, they just don't leave the child to it. Like, oh, okay, well, everything happens to do with their Down syndrome. They take them to programs. There are lots of programs for this, but not a lot of programs for ADHD or other diagnosis. And I have people in my family who have neurodevelopmental challenges, and one of them has Down syndrome. And they have been helped a lot when you make an effort to teach them different skills, and their quality of life and their functioning of life significantly improves during the course of the time that you're spending with them. So, you know, and I'm saying this because I had a comment the other day on one of my sponsor posts on Facebook, and a lady said, well, there's just no point. I know this because I have ADHD and my brain is just broken, so that's it. It just doesn't function like others. And I asked her, have you had a brain scan to show these things? Where are you getting? I wanted to know, you said your brain's broken. I want to know specifically what that means. Let's take the emotion out of it. Let's get to the specifics. She couldn't give me specifics. I said, okay, tell me what this means. Your brain is broken. Well, I have the symptoms of ADHD. I said, but has a doctor or a neuroscientist confirmed to you that you have actual physical brain damage and that you're physically unable to learn any new skills and that your quality of life can never be improved by strengthening these skills? And the answer was no. She doesn't have any physical brain damage that has been scientifically noted, or she hasn't had the MRI or anything like that. It's just her own emotions and her feelings about her condition of ADHD. And no doubt that ADHD is a difficult condition to live with. It is. But we can't just say, oh, well, I have this and, you know, my life is just going to be difficult forever. Really? You can strengthen your executive functioning skills if you have ADHD. And there's so much research out there in scientific circles that isn't making it into the public sphere that absolutely prove this. And this research spans over 30 years. There's so much to prove that when we help children or even adults who have weak executive functioning skills, regardless whether you have ADHD, ASD, or no, that their quality of life and their functioning, overall functioning as a society, absolutely improves. Their confidence improves. Their ability to manage their own life to the highest level that they are capable of doing improves. So giving just a child medication, just, oh, well, they just have this, that is a cop-out. We need to work with these children. We need to have programs that help them. They are interventions that work with them and strengthen these skills so that their lives can greatly improve. And yes, if your child has a neurodevelopmental disorder, it's going to be more work, absolutely. But the work is going to pay off in the end. We're thinking not just about how busy your life is now, we're thinking about the long-term consequences of working with your child to strengthen these executive functions right now and how over time it's going to have a compounding effect. It's like when you put money in the bank and the interest, it compounds over time. Their functioning is going to be greatly improved compared to if you just left them and shrugged your shoulders and like, I don't know, we're just going to, there's nothing else to do with them. They have ADHD and they're always going to struggle. And then they'll end up being an adult like this lady I spoke to who refuses to listen to any new information or refuses to even try. She doesn't even want to look at any of the research that I gave her online. Because she has this belief in her that there's something innately physically wrong with her that she is unable to learn or to change at all. And that's just simply not true. The brain is malleable and these skills are malleable. They are not fixed. Attention and focus is a malleable skill. It is not a fixed skill. It is something that you can even lose if you don't nurture. You can lose your executive function or the strength of your executive functions if you don't nurture them. It's like science that has learned about dementia later in life, and dementia patients are helped a lot when they are doing like brain games, because they say, you know, the saying, if you don't use it, you lose it. So these skills are malleable. You need to use them. You need to flex them. You need to strengthen them, just like you're going to a gym. And that can greatly improve their lives. And if you have this, it can greatly improve your life. Even if you don't have ADHD or ASD as an adult, strengthening your executive functions is going to help you perform at a higher, at a more peak level. So enhancing cognitive flexibility allows children to adapt to changing situations and switch between tasks more efficiently. And if you think about all these things, these are symptoms that a lot of children are exhibiting, even in high school. They're unable to switch between tasks more efficiently. They're unable to adapt to changing situations. That is cognitive flexibility, and that can be strengthened. So let's wrap this podcast up. We're talking about executive functioning skills. There are 12 executive functioning skills. Children are not born with them. They have to be taught through direct instruction, environmental stress, and other neurodevelopmental challenges like ASD can significantly impede executive functions, but they are malleable in any child, and you just have to teach it to them at the level where they're at. And I teach you how to do that in my BrainFit program. My BrainFit program is helping you to strengthen your child's executive functioning skills. We go through all of the 12 executive functioning skills. I teach you all about them on an in-depth level, each individually, and then you download or access the activities that will strengthen that particular executive function in your child. And so if you are interested in that, visit arabellahill.com/BrainFit. So brain fit, all one word. arabellahill.com/BrainFit. Strengthen your child's executive functioning skills is an absolute must. It's skills for behavioral excellence. You will enhance their self-regulation and their social skills, increase their attention and focus. You help them optimize their time, organization, planning skills. And if they do have neurodevelopmental challenges, it will greatly improve their quality of life compared to if you didn't, if you just didn't help them. Because unless your child who has ADHD or ASD is in a specific program to help them with all their skills that is specifically tailored to whatever they're struggling with, unless they are in that where are they going to learn it? They're not going to learn it anywhere else. Medication is not going to teach them. And while medication can help, mitigate symptoms and help them regulate. We want to really work from the root, and the root is executive functioning skills. You can help expand their self-awareness and their world. And believe me, it's nothing more rewarding than working with your child. And yes, you have to make some sacrifices. If you're really busy, you have to put some things aside that you really want to do. But with my program, all the activities you do with your child feel like play to them. It feels exciting. It feels like mom and dad are just spending some time with me. So if you like to spend time with your children and you do it anyway, you might as well do it in a purposeful way, knowing that this time that you're spending with your child is actually helping them build their executive functioning skills, because executive functioning skills are behavioral excellence skills. And if you want your child to perform at the highest level that they themselves are able and capable to do, you absolutely must strengthen these skills within them. If you're interested in reading even more about this, like I said, you can go to arabellahill.com/brainfit, or you can go to my blog, which is victoriousparenting.com. And if you look through the blog, you'll find Parenting Through the Storm, How Executive Functioning Impacts Your Child's Emotional Life. I go into a lot more details. You can have a look. You can share that on social media. You can read it later. I'm pretty sure if you click right on a laptop or something, you'll be able to print it out. You can read it and take notes. And of course, you can also follow me on Facebook under Arabella Hill. And if you have any questions about executive functions or executive functioning skills, behavioral excellence, anything to do with discipline or self-confidence, you can ask me right there on Facebook. I answer questions. I don't answer statements. If you come to just tell me what you think about me, okay, that's great. But if you have a specific question, I will answer your question. Okay, so thanks for listening, and I'll see you in the next podcast.